you to repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet and it's always a light unto our path. And as your people today, we have come to hear your word. Holy Spirit, you've already moved in this house. You've already moved in our hearts. And I pray today that you will move as the word of God is taught. And I pray that, Lord, not only will understanding will be produced, but there will be moments of revelation that will take our understanding to new depths and new levels. And as that happens, I thank you for roots being developed so fruits can be developed. And I declare for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives. And Lord, I thank you and I speak provision over this house and I speak provision over your people. I speak increase over your people. I speak, Father, supernatural breakthroughs financially to your people. And Lord, we thank you for doing it like only you can in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Well, last week I started and shared a message entitled, Is Tithing a New Testament Church Thing? Is tithing for the New Testament church? Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good subject right there. Okay. And if you're viewing by way of the internet, listen, if you missed the message on last week, here's what I need you to do. I need you to actually log off of this live service right now. And I want you to go and find last week's message and I want you to watch it. And you may be saying, well, Pastor Evan, why do I need to do that? Because I believe you won't fully connect the dots with the content of today's message without having a foundation of last week's message. Can y'all say amen for the online crowd? Now, if you're here, you say, Pastor Evan, I'm here, but I wasn't here last week. Well, if you're physically here, here's what I need you to do. I need you to pay very close attention. So just look at somebody and tell them, pay very close attention. Yeah, yeah. I need you to pay very close attention to the message. And then here are your instructions. On the way home, I need you to go and listen to last week's message. Why? Because I believe you'll get the full revelation and understanding of what I'm teaching today. Now, I said this on last week, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to let some of my, recap message say some of the stuff that I said last week that I want to say now. So y'all give a hand clap to this video right now. Yeah. Is tithing for the New Testament church? I've never taught tithing the way I'm about to teach it. How was giving from the beginning? Cain and Abel. Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground, he brought an offering. And Abel, he brought the firstborn of his sheep, the firstborn of his ox, the firstborn, all the animals that he had, he brought the first one and some fat thereof. What Abel brought was acceptable to God. What Cain brought was not. Why? What did Abel do different? He brought the firstborn and he brought some extra. This now story was told in the New Testament. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto the God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Many people fail to realize that God had to have given some instructions to both of them, or they would not have known to give something to God. God expects the first. We can say that the giving of the first took place before the law, because the law haven't happened yet. Only the first one, or the firstlings of the beast. It should be the Lord's firstlings. No man shall sanctify, whether it's an ox or a sheep. It's the Lord's. Whose is it? That was already God's mindset before the law, but he just put it in here now. A man named Melchizedek, he was the king of Salem, and when he saw Abraham, he brought some bread and wine. He greets Abraham. He blesses Abraham, and then Abraham gives him what? He gave him tithes of what, though? He gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave a tithe to this man named Melchizedek. This is the first time a tithe is given, but I want you to notice that it was given before the law was ever mentioned. Some people say, well, I don't give a tithe because it's part of the law. No, right here we're seeing the tithe took place before the law existed. The law started with Moses. What God did through Moses, he incorporated tithing into this law. If he put it in there, he did it for a reason, right? So here's the question as we go a little deeper. Who was this man named Melchizedek? Why did Abraham give him a tithe of what he had? Here's another question. Is there a connection between Melchizedek in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament? Does the priesthood of Melchizedek impact our covenant with God through Jesus Christ as new believers? And here's the bigger question. Do we tithe as New Testament believers of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked me all those questions, but I'm out of time and I'm going to have to tell you next week. All right, are y'all ready this morning? Yes. So I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to add briefly to this summary, but I want to start out by saying this. Let what I'm teaching you, let the truth be your feelings about this and not your past and not your offenses and not your lack of knowledge be your feelings. Say amen to that. So last week's message, we looked at how giving was done for the first time in human history. We learned, I'm talking about it from the Bible, and we learned that God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain, just like I said. The first occurrence of giving gave us a footprint. Say footprint. It gave us a footprint of how God wanted giving done. And so Abel gave up the first of every animal that he had, and then he gave some extra. Cain did not do that, and said, guess what? He only brought an offering, and as a result, we know what happened. God accepted what Abel gave, but he rejected what Cain gave. And the fact that he rejected what Cain gave shows us that God had a standard in which he wanted them to give, and Abel did it, and Cain didn't do it. Say amen to that. Amen. And so the second thing we discovered last week is for the first time the word tithe was mentioned in the Bible. Well, it was mentioned when this man named Abram, whose name changes to Abraham, gave a tithe or a tenth of the spoil that he had to this man named Melchizedek. Now, here's the point that I want you to see. Both of these acts of giving, what acts of giving? The first giving by Abel and the giving of the tithe by Abraham, both of these were instituted before the law took place. Can we agree with that? Amen. All right. So with that being the case, we then learned that the law was set in place by God through Moses. God incorporated the giving of the first, which was Abel's way of giving, and the giving of the tithe, I'm going to call that Abram's way of giving. He incorporated that into the law. So let's establish a thought before we jump in here this morning. Everybody say, here's a power thought. Everybody say, I believe we can truthfully and biblically say that the giving of the first and the principle of tithing was so important to God that he intentionally put it in the law. It was important enough for him to include that. So we talked about the questions on last week, and that is tithing for the New Testament? Who was this person that Abraham gave this tithe to? What was this man Melchizedek all about? We're going to look at now the connection. So I only have one point this morning, but this one point has a lot of dynamics to it. So here's the point. Who is Melchizedek and what was his role and back then and his role today in the New Testament church? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this man named Melchizedek. By the way, anybody got an uncle named Melchizedek? No uncle? Anybody name their kids Melchizedek? No? Don't do it. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to look at the first time this man Melchizedek was mentioned. And then we're going to look at the second time Melchizedek was mentioned. Genesis chapter 4 verse 16. They're going to put it on the screen. It says, and he, Abraham, brought back all the goods. And also he brought again his brother Lot, or nephew. He brought his goods. And he also brought the women. And he also brought back the people. And verse 18 now introduces this man. It says, and Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, he brought some bread and some wine. And he was the what, church? He was the priest of the Most High God. Now, this is an FYI for historical purposes. This is the first time the word priest is mentioned in the Bible. First time. Verse 19 says, and he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. Watch verse, now watch the rest of this verse, read it with me. And he gave him a tithe of what? Of all. So based on what we just read, the role that Melchizedek played in Abraham's life is twofold. The first role that he played is that he blessed Abraham. How many like to be blessed? Let me see your hand. He blessed Abraham. And the second thing or role that he played in Abraham's life is that he received a tithe from Abraham or Abram. So now, that was Genesis 14. Let's now see the second time that his name was mentioned in Psalm 110. Psalm 110 verse 4, I'm reading out of the NIV version and I am going somewhere, so just follow me. It says, now the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. He says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, although this is an Old Testament reference, it's actually a prophetic word of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 5, they're going to put it on there. We're going to see the New Testament use this prophetic word about Melchizedek in Psalm that connects Melchizedek and Jesus together. Watch now, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. I'm actually reading out of the ESV version. It says, for every high priest, how many high priests? Every one of them, every high priest is chosen from among men and has been appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. What is their job? To offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He, this high priest that has been appointed, can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward since he himself has weaknesses. Verse 3, because of this, this high priest is obligated, say obligated. He's obligated to offer up sacrifice for his own sins just as he does for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor to himself, but only when being called by God. So let's stop, because what he's saying is a high priest that does the role like this, it can only be appointed by God. They cannot be self-proclaimed. And so it says here, no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Watch verse 5. Now he's about to make a comparison between Melchizedek and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so also Christ, he did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today have I begotten you. As he also said in another place, you are a priest forever, read it with me church, after the order of Melchizedek. So who is this talking about? It's talking about Jesus. And so now what the Bible is doing is connecting now Jesus with Melchizedek. And what it's saying is Jesus has the same, watch this now, priesthood order and obligations as Melchizedek. Now verse 7 goes on to say about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he, Jesus, was a son, he learned what, church? He what? He learned what? He learned obedience through what he suffered. And let me just put a note here on the side. This is not in my notes, but this is just a side note. If you're going through something and it's causing suffering to you, my question to you is, are you choosing to learn obedience in it? You know, most people suffer unnecessarily because they refused to obey. Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered, not by what he learned. Amen. It says he learned obedience by what he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Watch this. Here's another reference. Being designated by who, church? God. So who designated Christ? God did. He designated him as a high priest. Read it with me again. After the order of Melchizedek. So we see now three references. One in the Old Testament in the Psalm, and two right here in this context, that God was connecting us, or Jesus, with Melchizedek. And the connection is the priesthood that Melchizedek functioned in. So this answers the question of, is there a connection between Jesus and Melchizedek? Yes, there is. Everybody say, yes, there is. Now, God said that Jesus was going to be the successor priesthood of Melchizedek. The successor. What does that mean? A successor is someone who picks up where the last person left off. See, like one day I'm going to name a successor for here at Word of Truth Family Church, because I'm not going to be preaching when I'm 80 years old. Now hopefully I'll look like Papa Jack when I'm 80. Hopefully. He just turned 85. I lay your hands on me. Right? I hope to look like that, but I ain't going to be preaching every Sunday. Amen. Well, Jesus now is the successor of Melchizedek. You say, well, why is that so significant? Watch this, church, because the only tribe that priesthood came out of was Levi. Now see, Melchizedek was not a part of the Levitical priesthood. God had a whole different priesthood for him. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to look in verse 1. We're going to see what the priesthood of Melchizedek looks like. It says, for this Melchizedek, he was the king of Salem. He was the priest of the Most High. It's almost identical in saying what the Old Testament did, doesn't it? He says, for this man was the priest of the Most High. He met Abraham, who was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And what did he do to Abraham, church? What did he do, church? Come on, I want to hear this side. What did he do? He blessed Abraham. Remember I said that there are two functions that this priesthood functions in. Number one, he blessed Abraham. Well, let's see what else happened. He blessed him, and verse 2 says, and to Abraham he apportioned or gave a tenth part of what? Everything. So, the Bible continues to say, he is first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he's also the King of Salem, that is the King of Peace. He, Melchizedek, is without father or mother, or without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, because he resembled, it didn't say he was, he resembled who? The Son of God. He continues to be what? A priest forever. So listen, before we keep going, let me clarify something, because I don't want you to get caught up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up with that part that says he was without a mother and he was without a father and he didn't have a beginning of days nor ending of days. He had to have a mother and a father to get here. Amen. What that's saying is, because that's just like in some of our cases. We don't have a record of some of our ancestry. I don't know who my great, 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 great grandpa was, but that don't mean I don't have a great, 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 great grandpa. What that means is my great, 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 great grandpa, it was not recorded for me to have a record of it. And that's what this is saying about Melchizedek. We just don't have a record of him being born and who his parents were. Can you say amen to that? Does that make even a little sense? Yes, it does. So, look in verse 4. It says, see how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoil. This answers one of our questions too, because one of the questions is, why did Abram give a tenth to this man named Melchizedek? Well, one of the reasons just says that he was a great man. Let me add that he was also God's representative. He was the first priest in the Bible. And priest was the connection between God and man. Say amen to that. The Bible says here in verse 5, and those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment. So listen, we're changing from Melchizedek over to the Levites. Remember, you had Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. All right. Remember, Jacob was a twin. All right. It was Jacob and Esau. So when Isaac had these kids, you know, he had 12 boys. Two of the twins, well, no. Jacob was now that third tier. And with Jacob, you had all these boys named the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes. Out of these 12 came out this tribe called Levi. Levi now is this priesthood, watch this, where these two types of giving, the tithe and then the firstborn or the first type giving, it was incorporated into the law. So God now took the Levitical priesthood and said, okay, I want all of my priests to come out of that Levitical priesthood. So that's what he's saying here. And so he says, out of the Levi tribe, listen, they have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people. May I suggest it became a law because somewhere down the line, people stopped practicing it. Let me tell you this. Did you know that there was about 400 years between when Abraham was living and giving tithe from when the Levitical priesthood was birthed? So I believe in that 400 period. Because see, somehow Abraham knew to give the tithe because that's why we read last week where Jacob vowed to tithe. So somewhere it was instituted to in a way that Abraham passed it down. But if I line 10 people up here and I said to the first person a secret and told them to whisper it down to the end, it ain't going to be the same by the time I get down there. So somewhere, church, guess what? It stopped happening. As a matter of fact, I'm jumping now to my media team. I want to jump to Malachi. Chapter 1. See, somewhere it stopped happening. And that's what the whole book of Malachi is about. The book of Malachi is actually God talking to the priest about the first being given and the tithe. So now in Malachi, hopefully they can find it, Malachi chapter 1, I'm reading in verse now number 6. It says, now the Lord of heaven's army says to the priest. Who is he talking to, church? He's talking to the priest. He says, a son honors his father and servants respect his master. God says to the priest, if I am your father and if I'm your master, he says, then where is the honor and the respect that I deserve? So then he said to them, you have shown contempt for my name. But they said, how have we shown contempt for your name? And he says, you have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Listen to what he says. He says, you defile them by saying, well, the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. In other words, we can just give God whatever we want to give. That sounds like Cain, don't it? So then it says in verse 8, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, he says, isn't that wrong? He says, and isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? He says, try giving these type of gifts to your governor and see if he'll be pleased with that. And then the Bible says in verse 9, go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you favor at all? So we can see that somewhere these people stopped doing that. Now, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7, media department. I got them jumping around this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, because I want to read what we just read, but I want to read it in the Boyce translation. This was still talking about Jesus and Melchizedek. It said, but this man, Melchizedek, oh, they found it good. Y'all give our media department a big hand clap. Ooh, y'all doing good. You know what? I would give you a raise, but I don't pay you. So praise the Lord. They're doing it as unto the Lord. Watch this now. Hebrews 7:6. It says, but this man, Melchizedek, who did not belong to that Levite ancestry, he collected a tenth part of Abraham's income. And although Abraham had received the promises, it was Melchizedek who blessed him. So here's the question. This is a deep question. When the law was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, because that's the whole point of Jesus coming, was to fulfill the law. When the law was fulfilled by him, here's the question. Did it, the law, demolish the practice and the principle of tithing through the priesthood of Melchizedek? I'm going to ask the question again. When the law was fulfilled, did it demolish, or let me say it like this, did it get rid of the practice of and the principle of tithing through the priesthood of Melchizedek? Well, I'm going to answer that. What do y'all think the answer is? No. You know why? Because, listen, the priesthood of Melchizedek still lives. See, God knew that eventually he would send his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Well, the Bible just told us, and we're going to read it again, that one of the purposes of priests was to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So when Jesus came, he became the sacrifice. So he, instead of now these Levites taking these animals, killing them, spilling blood on the altar, trying to cover men's sin, God knew that wasn't going to last. Here's why. Because the blood of bulls and goats only covered the sins of man. It did not remove the sins of man. And that's why they had to do it every year. Listen, every year, once a year, the high priest had to go into the most holy place. See, you had the holy place, then you had the most holy place. This high priest had to go in there once a year, and the Bible says he would offer up a sacrifice of sins for himself first and then for the people. And here's the problem. If that high priest got into the most holy place and he hadn't dealt with his sins properly, he died in there. So this is why they wore these robes, these high priests. See, that people have a problem with Gucci. They don't read the Bible. Because these high priests wore garments that had gems in them. Well, they would, these priests, these high priests had these special robes decorated with jewels and gems and all this stuff. But at the bottom of those robes, they would put these pomegranate that would be bells. So when he's in there, if you hear the bells jingling, jingle, oh bell, jingle, because he's offering up the sacrifices for his sins. But if those bells stop ringing, let me tell you what happened. They put a rope around the priest's ankle before he went in. Because if he went in and he died, they couldn't go in there and get him. So they put a rope around his ankle and they pulled him out. Y'all ain't playing with me this morning. So listen, God knew that Jesus would become the ultimate sacrifice. He died. He took his own blood to the mercy seat and to the throne of God, and he presented himself. Watch this, which caused the law to be fulfilled, which means that it's irrelevant now. Relevant. So does that make tithing irrelevant? No, because that's why he let the priesthood of Melchizedek continue to live. Now watch this. This is going to be good. Touch your neighbor and say, this is going to be good. All right. So I'm going to jump now. Let me just give you a power thought. Everybody say, We have made giving to God, tithing and giving, we have made giving to God so much about us that we've forgotten that the foundation of giving to him is about honor and is about the heart. That's why Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. Listen to the Amplified version. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops or your income. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. So listen, can we safely say that the priesthood of Melchizedek was not part of the Levitical priesthood? Can we safely say that? Yes. And then can we safely say that the priesthood of Melchizedek had two known practices. Those two known practices was to bless and to receive tithe. Can we say that? All right. So listen, church, here we go. We're getting ready to take a hard left. So if our Lord Jesus Christ, who was appointed by God to succeed and carry out the position and the duties of Melchizedek, then he, listen, is supposed to bless us and he is supposed to receive tithe from us just like Melchizedek did from Abraham. This now means, as a New Testament believer, that we should give our first tenth to Jesus just like Abraham did to Melchizedek. You may say, well, why? So that he, Jesus, can bless us and then watch this and then present this to the Father as an honor to him. He said, Pastor, I don't know. I ain't read all that. Well, let's just keep reading. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1, and I just feel like shouting right there, but I'm going to hold it in because I'm Presbyterian. Praise the Lord. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1. It said, now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. He's a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up and not man. Watch this now, verse 3. But every high priest, how many high priests, church? Every high priest has been appointed to offer what? Gifts and what else? Sacrifices. And then so he says, and so it is necessary now for this priest to offer up something as well. Well, he don't have to offer up now for sacrifices because he did that. So my question to you is, the gifts that he needs to offer up, where they gonna come from? They come from us. So now this makes now how I give different. I'm not giving from the law. I'm giving from the priesthood of Melchizedek, and I'm bringing or giving my tithe to Jesus. Watch this. I'm not giving it to Word of Truth. I'm giving it to Jesus. He said, well, Pastor, I don't know about all that. Watch this now. I don't have the time. I wish I had one more Sunday because I would really just knock this thing all the way out the park. I would hit that ball and they would see it over there at the Ranger Stadium over there, right? But let me break it down this way. Jesus, we give him our tithe. Who's the head of the church? Christ is. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the body of Christ? We are. And that also has another name for it. It's called the church. So now the head, Jesus, is connected to his church. Jesus receives the tithe that we give him. Well, what does Jesus do with it? Well, the Bible says when he ascended on high, he left some gifts called the fivefold. He says he's given some gifts, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For what? To perfect the saints, to do what? To do the work of ministry. So now Jesus receives his tithe, the tithe from us. He then has put those people in place to run the church. And that's why in the book of Acts, when you see when they were giving, they were selling all of their stuff and they were bringing it to the apostles. Y'all ain't read the Bible? In Acts, they would give. The Bible says they would go and sell their property and listen and bring the whole amount to the apostles. Y'all stuck on tithing. The New Testament is really about all. Grace don't lower the standard. It actually raises the standard. The Bible says Jesus is full of grace and truth. Okay, so the Bible says in one occasion, in fact, why don't we just go there so our media team can show you what this verse is. This is now in the book of Mark chapter 10 verse 17. See, we live under grace. We do live under grace, but grace don't lower the standard. It don't lower the standard. Watch this now. This is in Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, this is you know what? Go to Matthew 5 first. Let's do this one. Let's go on and do this. Matthew 5, 27. Go to that. Ooh, they doing good today. Watch this. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, you have heard that it was said by the old time, the law, thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. He said, but now here's grace and truth talking. He said, but I say to you that if you just look on a woman and lust after her, you have committed adultery already. Which one is easier and which one is harder? Okay, y'all ain't ready for me. Okay, let's go to Mark. Y'all ain't ready. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10. Watch this now. And Jesus was starting on his way to Jerusalem. A man came running to him and knelt down and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, why do you call me good? There's only good, and that's God. He says, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. He says, honor your father and your mother. And he says, teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a young man. Here comes grace and truth talking now. He says, oh yeah, I know that. Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, but there's still one thing you've forgotten. He told him, listen, do you know what that one thing was? It was the first law or the first commandment, which was you shall have no other gods before me, which says that this man's stuff was his God. So let's see how grace and truth deals with this. Because see, grace don't lower the standard. Watch to see what he tell him to do. He says, go sell how much? All. Go sell what? All of your possessions and give it all away to the poor. He didn't say bring me back 10%. Yeah. Oh, so if you want to be a New Testament believer, then you got to understand that all of what you have belongs to the Lord, not just some of it. 10% is just a start. Grace don't lower the standard. It raises the standard. Say amen to that. Amen. Why don't we just go to Acts chapter 4? Go to Acts 4. We're going to close it this way. I had this all planned differently in my head. I practiced it different, but this is how we're going to go down right now. Acts chapter 4. It says, this is how the New Testament church ought to really be working right here. It says, and the multitude of them that believe, they were of what church? One heart. And what else? One soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things that they possessed was his own. They didn't even see what they had was as theirs. He says, watch this. But they had all things in common. And with great power, they gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace came on them. And that word grace means favor. I wonder why great favor came on them. Because they were great givers. Watch in verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked anything. For as many as possessed lands or houses, they sold them and they brought the money of the things that were sold and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. The New Testament church does not lower grace. Grace says all. All to Jesus. We want to sing it, but we don't want to do it. Everybody say, oh. So what's the conclusion? Because I done jumped all around. I hope you flow with me. I hope you got it. Who was this person named Melchizedek? He was a priest appointed by God. Jesus picked up his priesthood. Why did Abraham give him a tithe? Why? Because that was his way of showing honor to a great person. When Jesus died and resurrected, it is now our responsibility as his body to bring the first and the tenth to him, because now he's continued the priesthood of Melchizedek. So here's my question. Are you giving your first tenth to Jesus so he can bless you? I'm telling you, we've made giving so much about what the, you know what, can I be transparent? And I hope this person is watching. I hope they're watching. I hope you're watching. So I posted this message that I did last week because it was so good. It was good. It was very clear. It was understanding and all that. And so when I posted it, the first response I got was probably within 5 minutes. And it said, pastor preaching on tithing with a Gucci suit on. Can I be honest with you? If you gotta sit here in church and listen to me with your eyes closed so you can get blessed, then the Bible, listen, then do that. Jesus said, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. He needs to pluck out his eyes. Cause listen. If this was not working for me, I would not be up here teaching it. Remember, I tithed 20 years before I started pastoring. But again, the devil wants to give you any excuse to not do it. So here's my question. Are you giving your first tenth? Here's the second question. This is application. If you've been tithing, but it's been from a Levitical priesthood standpoint or attitude, I need you to change your attitude and perspective today. You're not tithing to an old dead system anymore. You are tithing to a living king. Jesus, we bless you today. It's time to surrender what you think is yours so that you can be blessed in ways you could never imagine. With every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some people who need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their financial